Good morning and welcome to the Whitley Bay Baptist Church podcast. My name's Crispian and I'm on the leadership of the church. Today in our series looking at prayer, we come to the topic of listening to God, and Dave Tubby will be bringing God's word to us. This is also Remembrance Sunday, and we'll spend some time thinking about those who have given their lives that we might have peace in our land and a better life than we might otherwise have had. We begin by reading some verses from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For a thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like the grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you are our God, and we rejoice that we can come before you this morning to praise and worship you. We thank you that you are our refuge and dwelling place, where in the midst of all trouble we can rest in the peace which you give to us. Peace which the world is not able to give, nor can it comprehend. We thank you for Jesus this morning, who brought us peace when we were strangers to you. We bless you for the love you showed in sending Jesus to die for us and cover our sins with his blood. How he said, greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And then he said, you are my friends, if you love one another as I have loved you. These two things astonish us, Lord, that you love us, and that you call us friends, not servants or worse. As we think of those who have also laid down their life for others, may we be those who listen to you. Listen to your voice saying, love one another as I have loved you. And having listened to your word, may we be doers of your word in whatever you call us to do. We ask these our prayers in the lovely name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. The worship group are now going to lead us in the song, Christ Will Be My Hideaway. This is a song that was written at the beginning of the coronavirus epidemic and is based on Psalm 91.
Shadow of the mighty King.
Today is Remembrance Sunday, when we remember those who have given their lives in the armed forces in the line of duty. The day goes back to the end of the First World War and has been kept annually ever since. You would have to be 102 to have even been born before the end of that war, and you'd have to be over 75 to have been alive during any of the Second World War. I remember a teacher at my secondary school taking time out of the Italian lesson to impress upon us the importance of thankful remembrance for those who gave their lives to defeat Hitler and what our world might have been like had they not. But unfortunately, there have been many conflicts since then, when some of those in our forces have lost their lives. Some whose lives have been permanently scarred, and some whose loved ones grieve in remembrance. From the more recent past, we might think of Northern Ireland, the Falklands, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The poppy has been used as a symbol of this day ever since they were seen springing up on the scarred battlefields in 1918. You may remember the huge display of poppies around the moat of the Tower of London in 2014. 888,246 poppies, each representing a serviceman or woman who died in the war. This is one of those poppies from around the Tower of London. And as I look at it, and think of what it symbolises, I'm reminded of Jesus' words, Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, for his loved ones, for his fellow citizens. This has been a strange year, with a disease seemingly hunting us down. And those who remember see something of the wartime spirit in the country, both the good and the bad of that. And as we go into another lockdown, members of the forces are being called to help with virus testing. But this year, we're also very conscious that others than those in the forces have put their lives at risk and even given up their lives in the course of their duty to help their fellow citizens. I think we should remember them too on this occasion. We're not able to have the 11 o'clock 2 minute silence in this podcast, as the time of watching it is not 11 o'clock for most people. But let us stop for a moment and remember with thankful hearts those who, as part of their official duty, are called to put their lives on the line, even to losing their lives. We remember them, and we remember their loved ones who are left behind.
Let us pray. The God of Abraham prays, who reigns enthroned above, ancient of everlasting days and God of love. Jehovah, great I am, by earth and heaven confessed, we bow and bless the sacred name, forever blessed. Almighty God, on this day of remembrance, help us to learn the lessons of the past, to understand the cost of war, the price of peace, the scope of human depravity, and the extent of human self-sacrifice. Forgive us for forgetting how blessed we are to live in freedom and peace, and for forgetting those who still suffer the effects of past conflicts. Help us to live and work for peace and to stand against evil. Heavenly Father, we live in a time of great crisis, when the hearts of many are failing them for fear. So we turn to you, because you are infinite, eternal and unchangeable, in your being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. We turn to seek your help, your wisdom and your comfort. We commit to you the result of the American election, asking that the outcome may benefit everybody, both in the United States and throughout the world. We pray also that our own leaders will chart a path that is just and compassionate, whether in relation to coronavirus, Brexit, or the climate emergency. We particularly remember those suffering from extreme poverty, conflict, or environmental disaster. We think of the people in the camps of northwest Syria, who have already suffered so much, and where coronavirus cases have increased tenfold in the past month. We pray for all those who are working to stop the spread of the virus and to help people to cope with the harsh winter to come.
Father God, we thank you that in these uncertain and changing times, you remain the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for the way you provide for us day by day, often in quite ordinary practical ways, which we can so easily take for granted. We thank you for your people here in Whitley Bay, for the support and encouragement we've received from one another over the past week, and for all those who have worked hard to keep things going during this time without a pastor. We especially pray for our church meeting tomorrow evening and for guidance as we consider the appointment of a new team leader. We thank you for all those taking care of our health needs in our hospitals, doctors' surgeries and pharmacies, and those working in care homes with all the new pressures this current lockdown brings. Thank you for the efficiency of our food supply chain, from the farmers to our supermarkets, and others who deliver food to our doors, as well as friends and neighbours who help us and watch out for us. Thank you for all those who work in a voluntary capacity in these areas, such as the food banks and the parish nurses. Father God, as we pray for the health and ongoing efficiency of all of these, we also remember those who are unwell at this time. For those who feel very anxious about their health, concerned about their jobs or the needs of their family, we think of our young people unsettled by the disturbance to their education or their plans for the future. For those who are bereaved and grieving, and those who feel very lonely and afraid. We pray that you will be their healer and protector, their security, safety, and close companion. And we thank you that there is nothing in all of creation, not even coronavirus, which is able to separate us from your love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us now say the Lord's Prayer together in its traditional wording. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We are thankful to Dave Tubby for bringing us God's word today. He will be doing his reading in the course of what he says, but you might like to have your Bibles open at Luke chapter 5.
I don't know if you watched the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I watched as much as I could stomach before I turned it off, I'm afraid. It struck me as a lot of shouting at each other and a lot of talking over each other and a lot of, well, politics, I guess. The best summary I've heard of it afterwards was from one commentator who said, "It's difficult to say who won the debate, but it was clear that the loser was America. Talking often comes easy, doesn't it? We like to be heard. And sometimes we think that that means that we need to talk loudly in order to be heard. And I think when we pray, that's the default pattern that we settle into as well, isn't it? When we're nervous, or when we're angry, or when we're in need, or when we're grateful maybe, or when we're after something. We talk to God about it. And that might be in long-winded prayers, or it might be in short bullet prayers. It might be in winding and rambling prayers or beautifully carved prayers. When we're in need or when we're thankful, we tell God. And I'm not decrying us speaking out in prayer, because there is such a significance and importance in God hearing what it is that is on our heart. But I do find a quote from the Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard that Pete Gregg quotes in his book, How to Pray, a really powerful quote that stops me in my tracks when I reflect on it more. And it says this: A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until he realised that prayer was listening. And the truth is, I think, that we talk too much in our prayers. I know that I do. And that might be because we're too nervous of what we'll hear, maybe. It might also be because we're not sure that God is actually going to hear us properly until he caves in at the maybe often incessant rambling that certainly comes out of my mouth sometimes. And as I was preparing for this morning's talk about what it means to listen in prayer, I was reminded again of Elijah's experience of God in 1 Kings chapter 19, where having just left the peak of maybe his spiritual journey on Mount Carmel, where he's defeated the prophets of Baal, Elijah disappears off to Horeb, where he promptly prays to God that actually he might die. And what kind of spiritual high is immediately followed by such a low where somebody would want to die? I wonder how many times we have maybe experienced God that close and then immediately forgotten that God was there at all. But then on Mount Horeb, Elijah then follows God's lead and goes out onto the mountaintop to wait for him. But God isn't there in the wind. He's not there in the earthquake. He's not there in the fire. But he's there in the still, small, gentle whisper that comes after all of those things. God wasn't in the noise. He was in the quiet. So what does it mean for us to listen in prayer? How do we do that? How are we giving space for God's still small voice to speak to us, to you and to me? Now, I'm as much of an expert as the next person, and I'm as good at talking in my own prayers as the next person. The truth is that we're all still learning to hear and discern God's voice, and always will be until we see him face to face, because as Paul says, we see through a glass dimly. And that's because when God speaks to us, he does it differently for all of us. Now, we might say that we know that, but yet we still continue to ask, how does God speak to me? And when we look in the Bible, we just see how incredibly varied, how incredibly powerful, and how incredibly unique God's voice is. He speaks through an angel to Mary. He speaks through a bush for Moses. He speaks through dreams to Joseph. He speaks through nature in Romans. He speaks through a fleece to Gideon. He speaks through our thoughts in Amos. He speaks through prayer in James. He speaks through writing on a wall to Belshazzar. He speaks through a donkey to Balaam. He speaks through visions to Jacob. He speaks through a bright light to Saul. He speaks through scripture itself in 2 Timothy. He speaks through a whisper to Elijah. He speaks through people to Jesus. He speaks through Jesus to people. And he speaks through wisdom in Proverbs. And he speaks through song in Psalms. There are so many ways that God speaks uniquely and powerfully in the Bible. And it's no different for us today. When I was beginning to test a call into ministry, I found a CD of a youth event that I'd been to as a teenager, which is more years ago than I would care to think. But it was a regular quarterly event. And in their final one, they decided to record it and put it on CD as some kind of souvenir for all of us who'd been there all over the years that they'd been running. And I'd got a copy of that CD, but I'd never actually, to my shame, actually listened to it. And I stumbled across it one day as I was preparing to get ready for work. And I thought, well, I'll drop that in the CD player as I'm driving around Birmingham. I found it randomly, decided to stick it on. Now, in the middle of the service that had been recorded, the minister had got up and brought a prophetic word. And I'd totally forgotten that prophetic word as I was listening to the CD. I hadn't even registered that it was there. And in fact, actually, as a teenager, I remember thinking at the time, why isn't somebody stopping him? I just want to sing along to the songs that they're playing. Can't somebody shut him up? Anyway, when it came to that prophecy, I had to stop the car because I found myself in floods of tears and I couldn't see actually what I was doing, where I was going. It was like it was a personal and a direct message specifically for me from this minister recorded 15 years earlier. And actually, the minister had subsequently died, so it made it actually even more powerful. This was a message from somebody no longer with us that he'd recorded at something so long ago that I'd forgotten about, but which was powerful and important and significant to me 15 years later. Now, over a two-month period, there were about 40 different instances of God speaking to me, dreams and prayers, messages from other people, passages of scripture, all uniquely different. but actually that was one of the most powerful of all of them. You will have your own stories of where God has spoken to you, and I wonder if you can stop and pause and reflect and listen to where God has spoken there. Several years later, my wife Rachel was also exploring what God was calling her to do. She'd been an actuary for 10 years or so and didn't really enjoy it. And she'd prayed to God that he would speak to her. Well, she went for a walk by the canals one lunchtime in Birmingham. While she was there, a bald man walked straight past her with the Bible verse Philippians 4 verse 6 tattooed on the back of his neck, so that when he walked past her, that was what she saw. I mean, that is ridiculous. She was so shocked and struck by that that she opened up her phone to find the verse, found the verse, read it, looked up, and he'd gone. Nowhere for him to have gone to. It was a long canal, but he disappeared. Now, there's no doubt in our minds that that was an encounter with an angel, a messenger from God, bringing a message for her for a particular time, in a particular way, and in such a memorable way that there's no other way to explain what was happening there. And the only thing when we read the Bible, when we listen to God, and when we seek him, is that God will not speak in one particular way. He will speak in a personal, unique, profound, and a special way. And so that means that listening is all the more harder, maybe, all the more intentional that we need to do. He may speak in ways that we expect, like angels or visions or prophetic words or scripture. But he may also speak in ways that we don't expect, like talking donkeys or fleeces or bushes or tattoos. There are so many ways that God speaks to us, and how we hear God depends on how we're ready to listen. And so we must ask ourselves, are we even listening? Or do we think we're listening when we're actually talking? Now, the irony of me talking about us listening is not lost on me. So this morning I want to do something different, because why is it that when we say that we gather to hear from God, we find ourselves continuing to do that, to talk rather than listen? So rather than me carrying on speaking about us listening to God, I'm going to stop speaking. And instead, in this space, we're going to listen to God. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. And while I'm reading it, I want to invite you to close your eyes where you are. Nobody's watching. Just close your eyes where you are and let God speak. And as I read, I want you to imagine that you're in the story. It's a familiar story of Jesus calling his disciples. Once I've finished reading, I'm just going to share a brief reflection, and then we're simply going to pray. So I just want to encourage you to allow yourself to be open to what God is saying through scripture here. Don't try and talk, just wait and listen. These words are taken from Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I am there by the lakeside in the morning hour. I see Jesus standing by the water, the crowds, the boats drawn up on the shore. The crowds press upon him to hear his teaching, and I mingle with them. As Jesus teaches, I listen. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and so I draw near. And now I am present in the boat as Jesus and Peter speak. I am with Peter. Perhaps I feel moved to take Peter's place. And I hear the Lord say to me, as to Peter, put out into the deep. Put out into the deep. Do not simply continue as you have until now, but put out into the deep in your daily spiritual life, in living your calling. The first request was not difficult. He asked him to put out a little from the land. The second is more demanding. Put out into the deep. I ask the Lord to show me where he is calling me to put out anew, to go deeper in my calling. Peter expresses my own sense of helplessness. We toiled all night and took nothing. Months, even years of toil, and the same struggles continue. But now the moment of grace arrives, the moment of faith, the moment of trusting the Lord's word with courage. But at your word, I will let down the nets. I ask the Lord to give me new courage, fresh trust in his word, so that I may take that new step. I see the astounding fruitfulness of this simple act of trust in the Lord's word, in the Lord's invitation to put out into the deep. The useless toil is transformed into an overflowing abundance. The nets are filled to breaking, the boats to their utmost capacity. My life too can change. Peter, sensing the closeness of God to him in Jesus, senses also his own sinfulness. Depart! I cannot be this close to the divine. And Jesus' answer is immediate. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I hear him say these words again and again to my heart and to my fear. Do not be afraid. And he gives to Peter, he gives to me, a sharing in his own mission of salvation. From now on, you will be catching men. They leave all and follow him. As we rest in this scripture, what word is it that speaks most to your heart? What is it that you sense the Lord is saying to you today? Let me invite you to rest a while, to pray, to listen, to hear what God is saying, to pause the video if you need to. To be intentional in seeking out God. It may be that God lays a picture on your heart. It may be that he gives you a verse or speaks to you in this well-known passage in a very different way. These are ways that God speaks. If you feel that God is bubbling up something within you, then particularly if it's a message or a picture that you feel it would be helpful for church to hear, then share that with the leadership team. If God is speaking to you, then write down in a journal maybe, or somewhere prominent, what God is saying. Be open and ready to hear, to listen. Just dwell in that place for a while, however long you feel that you need to. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us each individually and personally, that you know us intimately and you understand everything about us. Forgive us for the times when we talk. Help us to shut up and to hear what it is that you're saying. Help us to respond. We thank you that your gospel is personal, is powerful, and is transformative. Give us courage to look for you in the familiar and in the unfamiliar, to be ready to follow you when you call us. Guide us, Father. Guide us through your Spirit and in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, because we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me encourage you, friends, to share what God has been saying to you. Let me encourage you to keep listening and to stop talking and to let God and his Holy Spirit intervene and guide us in his perfect ways. May God's peace be with you, friends.
My vision, O Lord of my heart, naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. says I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always, thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. Bright heaven's sun, heart of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
I'd like to thank all those who have made this morning's podcast possible. Look always to Jesus during this lockdown and keep in touch with others as much as you can. Let us pray. Lord, keep us in this time. Guide our thoughts and actions. Speak to us and give us listening hearts, we pray. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us always, evermore. Amen.